Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and if you have aging parents or grandparents, or even if you're getting on in years and dealing with health challenges yourself, today's show is one you shouldn't miss. Author Marcy Cottrell Houle will be joining me to discuss her memoir, The Gift of Caring. It's about the challenges her parents faced navigating the healthcare system while also facing serious illness. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is somebody I think a lot of you will relate to, especially if you have parents or grandparents with serious medical issues. For Marcy Cottrell Houle, those issues started when her father was diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's. Though he'd been a doctor, this situation exposed Marcy to a whole new dimension of the healthcare system, and not one that was always positive and helpful. In fact, some of the people Marcy dealt with were downright infuriating and could have caused the death of her parents if she hadn't been such a strong, devoted advocate for them. She shares her story in a book she co-authored with Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom called The Gift of Caring. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Marcy Cottrell Houle. Marcy, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, this is a deeply personal book, and I imagine writing it must have been quite the emotional experience, especially when it came to reliving the many health problems your parents experienced. What made you decide to relive that experience and share it with the world?
There's one real overriding reason why I did write something so personal, is to help reduce other people's suffering.
Okay.
I recognized after going through it, but especially afterwards, that what I was experiencing and what I experienced was what thousands of people do. And I kept a collection of journals. I'm a writer, and I couldn't write books during this time. It was just too hard to focus and raise a family. But I kept journals. And from those, I realized I had a lot of information of how it felt to go through so many of these experiences that I felt like I had very little control. But most of all, co-writing it with Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom, who is one of the nation's leading geriatricians, made my story so much more than a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I would have just shared it as a memoir, an expose. But rather, it provides the tools I wish I'd had, what I wish I'd known, tools that can help people reduce the suffering of their loved ones and hopefully even change the system.
Yeah, sure. Well, this book deals with your mother's and father's illnesses, but let's start off a little in the good times. Tell us about each of them a little bit in their younger days.
Sure. We had lots of good times, and I have to even preface to say, even at the end, there were good times.
Mm.
There's good times all the way through. But they were great parents. I feel very blessed to have had them. I was the baby in the family, a late-in-life baby for them.
Mm-hmm.
They were very active. They were very much in love in their whole 61 years of life. They were devoted to each other, and family was a real important thing to them. They were healthy. They practiced healthy habits. They were very civic-minded. My father, especially, he was a surgeon, but a lot more than that. He just really loved people, and especially as I saw growing up, he had a real heart for the underserved. He loved children, and he started at the Oregon Health and Sciences University back in the 1950s something called the Crippled Children's Division to take care of children that had disabilities, cerebral
mm-hmm.
palsy. But he also did odd things, I thought, when I was growing up. He'd go to nursing homes, and
mm-hmm.
he took care of for free of patients' feet. And I always would get the lecture that feet were so not taken care of enough when you get older, and they can provide so much problems. And he was a foot surgeon, but he would go out there and just trim their toenails. So I had I never worried a bit about getting old because, first of all, no, my dad was a doctor. I saw what doctors did. They
mm-hmm.
took care of everybody, and he was such a lovely, gracious person. Everyone loved him. I thought, hey, and they were active even in their 70s. They were canoeing down the Yukon River.
Wow.
Why would I ever worry about getting old?
I'm talking to author Marcy Cottrell Houle about her book, The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. Now, despite the fact that they lived healthy lives, I guess it's a sign that something like dementia and Alzheimer's can strike anybody. So how did you first start noticing your dad exhibiting those symptoms?
I think for a lot of us, we go through stages, and it's stages you don't want to see, so I think we tend to try to write them off or ignore them or just say they're anomalies. And I think for a lot of people, we tend to, as we get older, worry, are we getting dementia every time we can't come up with a name or we find the right word? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not dementia. But what it is, dementia is a neurodegenerative disorder that does lead to cognitive loss and impaired function. And there are different types of dementia. They're not all Alzheimer's. And Dr. Ekstrom does a wonderful job explaining what these differences are. So we have a handle of what we're really looking at and what those symptoms really might be when they're concerning. But one thing she also points out, and I think this is very positive to know, and she talks about it in the book, there are several types of dementia, but there are ways we can stave it off. And there's researchers have found the one thing that can really help is what we call the magic pill, which is exercise. Because as the brain ages, memory function decreases, but exercise is known to hold back the decline by increasing the volume of your hippocampus. And this can give you two more good years. So at the same time we're talking about dementia and the decline, there shows real positive steps we can do to stay as healthy and brain healthy for as long as we can.
Right, and a lot of people just rolled their eyes and thought, oh no, not exercise. We like sitting around.
Exactly.
But it's a cliche, but it's true, I guess.
Yes. Yes, my mother was a perfect one. And I divide the book up into two sections. The mm-hmm. first half is taking care of my dad because he was the one that started exhibiting symptoms first, and we went through the entire Alzheimer's journey with him. And the second half is he died at 85. And the second half, when my mom lived seven more years, was her journey. And she didn't have dementia or Alzheimer's, but she had other very common maladies that had her fall through the cracks terribly in the system. And that second part's her part. And the book is kind of laid out in this way, and this is how I wrote it. Yeah. I took the journals I had that were, that's the way I coped a lot of times, was writing down all my frustrations and fears and sadness and good times too. But every other chapter is what I wish I'd known. And that is where Dr. Ekstrom gives this incredible advice that, first of all, makes you realize you're not alone, mm-hmm. you're not crazy what you're seeing, and there are things you can do. And I think that's what's so important to me, to see that everything we do, it's a one-way course, but we can make it so much better.
I'm talking to Marcy Cottrell-Houle. She's the co-author of the book, The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. You just mentioned falling through the cracks. And I have to say, it was both sad and infuriating in the book about some of the things that happened to your parents. And a lot of the times, it wasn't their big problems weren't necessarily caused by the disease itself, but from lack of proper care. So tell us a little bit about what happened, how you dealt with those times, and what can people do to avoid situations like that, if anything?
There is a lot you can do. I'll say again, read this book and look at the tips that it says, because one thing I learned was we often, and most of us who are going through this, we don't have the medical understanding to know even what we're seeing. And what happens to most people, because 97% of medical students do not take a single course in geriatric medicine. Mm. And there's so few geriatricians anymore who are specialized in aging. And what happens is we older people often, unfortunately, get written off because they think the symptoms they're seeing are just signs of old age. Unfortunately, as I came to learn, that many of the symptoms seniors experience are not old age. They're caused by a variety of other reasons that are often treatable, mm-hmm. but they cause a lot of suffering. And so the book does expose what a lot of the cracks are and the suffering, such as dehydration, too many pills, not the understanding of what delirium is. All of these things happen every day, and as I saw with my parents, caused so much misery. Misery that the reason I wrote the book is that it's not necessary to go through. But you need to arm yourself. You need to understand the right medical terminology. You need to be able to say, this is not my mom's baseline, and then have a certified document to prove it. You need to say, these are the activities of daily living that my loved one can do. If they go to the hospital, I want them to return to that level of independence. They need to be able to say, this drug is on the beers list. This is a big one that I think most people don't understand, that the fourth leading cause of death in seniors, It's called polypharmacy, which is too many drugs.
Wow.
Because unfortunately, what happens is that people go to one specialist and another, and they get plied with a lot of drugs. And so what I saw with my mom at one point, she was confused and weak and tired, and you know, I thought, well, she's just getting old, and it was hard to see. Well, she finally, we were blessed that she could see a wonderful geriatrician. And the geriatrician looked at her medical list and sat down with me and took out her pen. And she started saying, we're going to get rid of this drug. We're going to get rid of this drug. We're going to get rid of this drug. And it's like, what? And she said, these drugs are on what's called the beers list. There's a, geriatricians know, the American Geriatric Society has a list of all the drugs seniors should not be on, but are routinely prescribed. Well, what happened, after all those drugs were gone, my mom perked up, her energy level went up, her cognitive abilities went up. It's a big deal that people don't know what that list is. So that is the first time ever for the layman. It's in the book.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Marcy Cottrell Houle. She's the co-author of the book, The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. You mentioned before about your dad going to the nursing home and helping the people there. And I think one of the things I got a sense of from reading the book is that you, in being around all these other patients, you got a sense of the inherent God-given dignity of all people, regardless of their health. Talk a little bit about that and what you learned from this experience of being around all those people.
I think what you just brought up, Tony, is a really, really critically important value. And it's another one of the major reasons I wrote this book, because all human life deserves respect. Yet I think most of us in this, our country and our world, have forgotten or overlooked a large and often voiceless segment of our community, and that's frail older persons. And when those people get sick or they get dementia, that's even worse for them. They often just get written off by your community, by the whole system. And yet, living through it as I did, at first it's sad, and sometimes it's scary to see some of these changes, and you get to know people with Alzheimer's, and at first you feel almost frightened. It's like, these people aren't normal. And yet, they are. And the more you get to know them and the fear kind of drops away, you start to realize they still are human beings. They still deserve a sense of dignity, and they still deserve our care. And one way I think about it is it's important to look at people as they get ill or they maybe lose part of their cognitive abilities, is think of them always. Train your mind to think of them as a whole person, who they were. And I'm a biologist in my training, and I had a great teacher once that looked at ecosystems. And he said, when you look at an ecosystem, say a forest, don't just look at it what it looks like today. That's a snapshot. Train your brain to see what it was before, leading up to this, and afterwards. And so I always thought of that, to train my brain to think, this is not the whole person I'm seeing. The whole person is a lot more. This is one stage, and it's a hard stage and a sad stage, but it's just one. And so when you think of the whole person, you realize they're a human being, and they deserve all the care and respect we can give them. And, as I learned, even with Alzheimer's, there's still an emotional understanding they have. Even to the point of death, you can connect with them on an emotional level. And as I look at pictures of my parents that still loved each other all the way through, I realized Alzheimer's doesn't mean an ending to a love story.
Very nice. And throughout that, I mean, even with the Alzheimer's, aren't there still occasional these moments of lucidity and memory? Or does that diminish over time?
There are moments of these little breakthroughs, and I think those are so beautiful. And we had one when my dad actually died. And I just think life and Alzheimer's, everyone gets handed different things they have to deal with in life. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just one of them. But I think if we realize there's a lot we don't know, but as long as we can, you know, treat other people with dignity and still give them love and respect, those moments will come, and they are the shining stars in your life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Marcy Cottrell Hull. She's the co-author of the book, The Gift of Caring. You also write that your dad found some peace in the nursing home chapel. What role did faith play in your family's life during these ordeals? Was it a crutch you could lean on, or did you maybe sometimes get a little angry at God for everything that was going on?
That's a really good question, but faith played, for me, a really large role. And, you know, I think when I think about it, I would encourage people to think about this, because I certainly don't want to preach, and I know people have different ideas about what God and faith is to them, but really, that's not the point. The point is that all of us are going to face struggles. We're always, in our case, with seeing people you love declining. What are you going to do? We're all going to face loss. But for me, all the way through, faith did provide the additional strength I really needed, and in the hardest of times, it was there. And so it really proved itself to me going through the worst times of my life that I was not let down. In fact, it gave me more faith. And of course, you're sad and you don't want to see these things happen, but I think we have to realize this is life. We're all going to die somehow. And accepting that, which is hard, and we really never really accept it, but realizing that there's someone who walks with you. For me, I had God was at my side, and my family was at my side, and we still had that love. That didn't go away, but it gave me strength.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is based on that faith perspective, but I want to point out that the book's title is not The Burden of Caring, it is The Gift of Caring. So tell me, how did you come to see this caregiving, as hard as it was, as a gift, as a blessing?
I've never been asked that question, and that is really an important question. I think that I realized that at the end, when it was all over, it was that you get a lot of cards, you know, your parents are in a better place, and on and on. But there was one card that was given to me by one of the caregivers that was just became a member of the family, and it said, "It's what you did for your loved ones during those times, that's what's going to come back and give you the joy." And it's true. It's like it was a gift, and it was a gift to be able to give back to the people that I loved, who'd taken care of me and loved me. Believe me, it's not always easy. No one's the perfect caregiver. There are times I got endlessly frustrated, but I didn't want it to go this way. But in the long run, I look back and I think, as I say, life hands you things, and this was a gift because I could give back and help them. I could help in some way reduce their misery, and that to me was a gift.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other sense I got from the book is you were immensely supported by your family, your husband, your two daughters, Emily and Jennifer. And I think at some point somebody commented to you they felt sorry for the girls, that they had to deal with all these difficult stages of their grandparents' lives. But you saw a positive side to their involvement with their grandparents at this stage. Talk a little bit about what it taught Emily and Jennifer, how it maybe helped them become better and stronger young women.
That's a really good question, because I think when you're a caregiver and you're caught in this squeezed generation with raising family, having a husband, having a job, taking care of aging parents, at times you feel like a failure, like I can't do anything well. I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good daughter. I'm not a good this. I'm definitely not a good parent. You know, I saw other people taking their kids to Disneyland or this, and we were always on call. There was always something, like my daughter Emily and spent I think her 21st birthday in the ER with my mom. And there were times, it's true, I had a friend say, all your kids know are sick grandparents. And that was a horrible sense of guilt. But, and this is the big but, I think they learned, we all learned, empathy. They learned empathy. And as an ending, they both became doctors.
Oh, wow.
And I think they're better doctors for what they went through. And definitely, my daughter Emily, a few years ago, who was in medical school, wrote a beautiful essay about the other side of medicine. She was being trained to look at a patient and about a heart problem. And there was a curtain between the other patient and the room. And she said she could hear a family talking to the grandfather, kind of like we always used to, kind of cajoling or trying to make him feel better, but she could hear the nervousness. And she said her attention was driven right there, thinking, I don't want to forget what it feels like to be the family when I'm a doctor. And I think she learned that because of what she went through. And she's empathetic. Jennifer's empathetic. And it didn't ruin them.
Yeah.
You know, time as a parent, I thought it was going to. It didn't. It made them fine, caring human beings.
Yeah, and I think there, you know, you were talking before about doctors taking a whole person approach. It sounds like they're going to be doctors who take that whole person approach.
I think they will.
And I don't want to give short shrift to your husband, John, because it sounds like, you know, he was supporting you throughout, and you chose well in the husband department. So
I did.
Tell about how important his support was to you during that time.
It was huge. It still is. And I just smile when I think of him because he's the most wonderful human being I know. And that's why I say I've been given a gift. We had hard things to go through, but it wasn't like every moment, even John reading the books, like people think, oh my gosh, you went through such hard things. But you know, you realize it was over 14 years. We had a lot of fun in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Even at the nursing home, we would try to make it fun, as much fun as we could. And trying to think of ways to go through this together. And we went through there as a family, and he was extremely supportive, and that helps. And I think, once again, that's where I realize maybe we don't have a lot of things, but boy, we had a family that pitched in and helped and made it not only survival, but it made it good.
Yeah, and that's a lot more important than things in the end. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Marcy Cottrell Houle, co-author of the book, The Gift of Caring, Saving Our Parents from the Perils of Modern Healthcare. Marcy also won a Christopher Award a number of years ago for a book called Wings for My Flight. And Marcy, you indicated in an email that the words on the Christopher Award, better to light one candle than curse the darkness, they had an effect on you over the course of the past few years. So just tell me a little bit about that kind of perspective that you can't just wallow in the darkness. You have to light that candle to move forward with hope.
I think that is huge. And I love this medallion or this little statue. I have it here right now, that better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. I think to reflect on that, that's a huge, very positive way to live life, no matter what life gives you. Because you can curse the darkness, you can curse Alzheimer's, and of course we all do, and you curse people dying. You don't want to lose the ones you love. But I think knowing that I believe there's more to life than that, and to try to do something positive out of that darkness, that gives you hope, and it gives you a positive, I think, energy to the universe in some way. In the hard times, to try to remember that if you can expend a lot of energy cursing the darkness, and you can use that same energy by trying to, as you say, light that one candle, and you may not ever see the results from lighting that candle. You may not. But just knowing you're doing it, I think that gives you strength.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like also in the book, you indicated you seem to really gain an appreciation for acts of kindness when you're at your worst. I mean, I remember the one story about this nurse's aide, Lily, who offered to come in on her day off for Christmas to sit with your mother so you could be with your family. Has the importance of kindness, as cliche as it sounds now, kindness, just it's important to all our lives, has it taken on a new heightened perspective in your life?
Oh, I definitely think so. And just little bits of kindness. Like, I've even thought about this book. If it could help one person, then that's enough. And it has, and we're hearing from people and older people in their family that is giving them some empowerment, making them not feel so alone, realizing we're all connected, and realizing there are things they can do to make things better. And I think just knowing that somebody comes up, an older person will say thank you, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, that is everything. And kindness comes back, you know, many, many times to you is bigger than what you put out, I think. And it just makes life rich. It gives it meaning. And once again, we can either curse it or we can embrace it with kindness. And I guess I choose that way. It's
right.
A lot more fun.
Sure. All right. My final question. What do you hope people get out of reading this book? What approach do you want them to take when they pick it up and as they go through it?
That is really the biggest question of all, because as I said, of all the books I've written, this one, I don't feel like an author. I don't. I'm just a messenger in this book. And there is the message, and it's the message that you have the power to make things better for your loved one, for yourself, for your family. Arm yourself, become empowered, and also, this sounds a little bit funny, get mad. Get mad at a system that forgets these people. Get mad at a healthcare system that's broken. And what can you do? What little candle can you light to try to make it better in your community? You know, think of that person maybe that's alone and isolated. What can you do to help? Maybe you can drive them to an appointment. Just knowing and being able to discuss what a baseline is, or healthcare issues, or having a pulse, or all these different things, just being armed and so you feel not so lost, but you feel empowered. And I love seeing we have a sweet little 96-year-old lady that spoke back, I guess, to the hospitalist at one point and said, I do not have dementia. He was writing her off. I do not have dementia. I am just like Margaret in the book. And then I hear that story. It's like, yes, go for it.
Good for her. So you have to stand up for your rights and know what you're about.
Yes.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Marcy Cottrell-Houle about her book, The Gift of Caring, written with Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom. It's about saving our parents from the perils of modern healthcare. And Marcy shares her personal story in the book, but really what it is, it's a universal story because there are thousands, maybe millions of people around this country going through health issues with their parents or their grandparents. So this is a book that really can change lives, can improve lives if you follow the advice in it. So pick up The Gift of Caring by Marcy Cottrell-Houle and Dr. Elizabeth Ekstrom. And Marcy, thanks so much for writing the book and for sharing your story today.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks so much for caring.
Absolutely. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.